Perek Chet, chapter 8, pasuk 54. This is a very long chapter. And one of the things that we pointed out that is unique in terms of the great prayer of Shlomo HaMelech is, first of all, there is a halacha that emerges from the prayer, and that halacha is expressed best by a Gemara. Gemara in Masechet Brachot, where the Gemara says the following. I'm going to quote the Gemara exactly, and we learn it all from the prayer of Shlomo. Haya omed bechutz laretz, if a person is standing outside of Eretz Yisrael and he's davening, yechaven libo keneged Eretz Yisrael, his heart should be facing. Means even if he personally is not in a position to physically face Eretz Yisrael, but yechaven libo, his heart should be pointed toward Eretz Yisrael. Shenema, as Shlomo HaMelech over here says, v'hitpalalu derech artzam, they should pray derech artzam, by way of their land. Haya omed b'Eretz Yisrael, if you're standing in Eretz Yisrael, yechaven libo keneged Beit HaMikdash, his heart should be pointed toward the Beit HaMikdash. Shenema, as the Pasuk says in this tefillah, v'hitpalalu, they should pray El ha'ir hazot, to this prayer. Haya omed b'Yerushalayim, if you're standing in Yerushalayim, yechaven libo keneged Beit HaMikdash. Well, I think that this, I don't have a Gemara with me, but I think they made a mistake over here. They didn't print it correctly. If one is in Eretz Yisrael, yechaven libo, ones should be mechuvan keneged Yerushalayim. And if one is in Yerushalayim, then his mind should be to the Beit HaMikdash. Shenema, because it says, v'hitpalalu el habayit hazeh. In other words, the first pasuk says, v'hitpalalu, they should pray derech artzam, by way of their land. Then it says, v'hitpalalu el ha'ir hazot, they should pray toward this city. And then it says, v'hitpalalu el habayit hazeh, which means that if you're already in the city, then you're supposed to have your mind on Beit HaMikdash. Or you are made the Beit HaMikdash, if you're standing in the Beit HaMikdash, v'chaven libo keneged Beit Kodshei HaKadoshim, his mind should be on the Holy of Holies. Shenema v'hitpalalu, it says, v'hitpalalu, they should pray El HaMakom HaZeh, to this place. Nimtza Kol Yisrael Mechavnim L'Makom Echad. So it really turns out that all of Klal Yisrael are all their prayers are in the same direction. Yes. Don't be afraid. Maybe it isn't. No. The Shechinah, the Kodesh HaKodoshim, is in Ma'ariv, in the west. That means, if you're standing at the Kotel HaMa'aravi, imagine that you're up on the Temple Mount, a little removed from the Kotel HaMa'aravi, that's where the Kodesh HaKodoshim was, and that's where the Divine Presence was.
So the Temple faced west?
The temple faced west. Absolutely. And we face that west. Another theme that we pointed out during the course of this entire tefillah.
It's not going to be an easy class.
Yeah.
Okay. We should all go out and demonstrate.
All right, for anybody who hears all of that, Christopher just came back to the La Rome. Huh? Somebody's got his grass cut. Oh, all right. This is funny. All right. A second theme that is extremely important in this entire prayer of Shlomo HaMelech is the idea, as we pointed out last week, that every time he talks about the house, that location, he always says, Va'ato tishma ha-shamayim, you will hear in the heavens. He is forever correcting the possibility that we may make the mistake of thinking as though, yes, God indeed is right there in that house. Can't say that. Hinei hashamayim, ushmei hashamayim lo yichal kalucha. The heavens and the heavens above the heavens shall not contain you. Af ki abayis hazeh, certainly not this house that I have built. Yeshayahu says, in the last parak of Yeshayahu, and we pointed this out, the last parak of Yeshayahu, which is the chapter that we read on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, Hashamayim kis'i God says that the very heavens are my throne, v'ha'aretz hadom raglai, and the earth is my footstool. All right. So therefore, there's always the point that's being made by Shlomo not to think as though God is really dwelling in there. That's his dira, and there he is. Now it is that is the means by which the way by which prayer goes heavenward. And then the third thing that we pointed out that I feel most fascinating of all, and in a sense this seems to be different than the Mishkan. We're going to soon be coming to Parshas Truma. Truma, Tetzaveh, Kitisa, Vayakel, Pekudei. All of those chapters deal with the construction of the Mishkan and the mitzvah of bringing korbanos, bringing sacrifices. Shlomo HaMelech in this long tefillah doesn't mention sacrifice once. We're going to see sacrifice right away. But he doesn't mention it once. The motif of the entire prayer of Shlomo HaMelech, as we just, in the Gemara, we just use some of those phrases, v'hit palalu derech ha'aretz azot, v'hit palalu el ha'ir azot, v'hit palalu el ha'bayit azot, v'hit palalu el ha'makom azot. Shlomo HaMelech talks about prayer throughout. Not that he means that it's not a place of sacrifice, we're going to see that he brings sacrifices. Yet when Moshe Rabbeinu makes the Mishkan, everything is korban. There's no mention of tefillah. I haven't seen anybody who asks the question. So therefore, I'm on my own. Very often I'm on my own. I have a feeling that the stress by Moshe of korban is because there is something that Moshe has to do that Shlomo HaMelech doesn't. Moshe Rabbeinu is dealing with a generation of people that have just come out of Mitzrayim. What was it that our good friends, the Malachim, the angels, said at the Yam Suf before God destroys the Egyptians? They said, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, V'Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. These are idol worshippers, and those are idol worshippers. With such friends, who needs enemies? And the Rebbeinu rejects what the Malachim have to say. In other words, the Malachim are saying, why are these destroyed, and these are going to be saved? Of course, God tells him what a difference between people who acted out of their own free will and people who are coerced, who are downtrodden, who are beaten, who are oppressed. What Klal Yisrael in the Midbar has to go through is the process of being weaned from sacrifice to idolatry. From sacrifice to idolatry to sacrifice to God. How are you going to wean them? So the process began on that Erev Pesach in Mitzrayim when they brought the Paschal Lamb, the Korban Pesach. The purpose of the Korban Pesach really was so that they should slaughter the idolatry of Mitzrayim. How do you do it best? You do it best by channeling that need, which was so basic to them, the need for sacrifice. So this you now channel into sacrifice to God. No longer sacrifice to idols, sacrifice to God. This is the process that Moshe Rabbeinu has to take them through. And therefore for them, the Mishkan is a house of sacrifice. Because this is the way they are going to be weaned from their practices of idolatry. By the time of Shlomo HaMelech, we're dealing with a different Klal Yisrael. For all intents and purposes, Klal Yisrael has already been weaned from idolatry. Sacrifice no longer, you know, or now, I always say that you inspire me. You inspire me now. There is I just recall a Meshech Chochma, a Meir Simcha, at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, where the Rav Meir Simcha deals with an extremely difficult Rambam. And I think this is, it's great. I think this is going to be the answer. The Rambam in Morah HaNevuchim, the Rambam in his Guide for the Perplexed, describes sacrifice as completely related to abolishing the idea of idolatry from Jews. Channeling, what we were talking about, the idea of channeling this need for sacrifice to idols, now I'm going to be channeled into idols for God. The Mefarshim, of course, and the Tocham, the Ramban, there's a big Ramban at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, where the Ramban becomes very upset with the Rambam. The Rambam, by the way, he describes the fact that the idol of Egypt was the Tler, the Shepsala, therefore you sacrifice a Shepsala. And he describes how before different idols they brought different animals, those are the animals that are sacrificed. In other words, what emerges from the Rambam in the Morah HaNevuchim is that the purpose of all idolatry, of all sacrifice, is therapeutic. Therapeutic! They're sick! And therefore they need something that is going to, it's like a, what do you call it? Or an inoculation, a vaccination. You give them a little bit of the machla, but you give them a little bit of the machla in a in the kind of doses so that they're able to overcome it. What do you give them? You give them a little sacrifice. The Rambam gets very upset with the Rambam. Why does he get upset with the Rambam? Because it's very clear that sacrifice existed on the face of this earth even before idolatry. Noach brought sacrifices. Cain and Hevel brought sacrifices. Adam brought a sacrifice. This was before there was ever idolatry. It means, therefore, that there must be a positive purpose in sacrifice beyond the idea of using it as therapy. And then if the whole thing is only therapy, what do you mean, la'osid lavo, in time to come, the Rambam himself paskins, in time to come, all the laws of sacrifice will return as they were. Rambam says this in the laws of Mashiach. He says Mashiach is the one who's going to build the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore all of these sacrifices will return as they were before. If the Rambam himself says that the purpose of sacrifice is therapeutic, in the days of Mashiach, V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, God is going to be king over the whole world. On that day, God will be one and his name will be one. All idolatry will be wiped off the face of the earth. To remove all idolatry from the land. If all idolatry is going to be removed from the land, so what is the purpose of sacrifice according to the Rambam? These are the questions that are asked by the Rambam. Says Rav Meir Simcha, that there were two periods with regard to sacrifice, up until the construction of the Beit HaMikdash and following the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. How is the difference expressed in Halacha? And it's expressed in Halacha in the following way. Before Beit HaMikdash, Bamot were permitted. What were Bamot? There were high places. For that matter, a person can have a backyard Mizbeach, and he could bring sacrifices. During the entire period of 350 to 400 years after Jews came into Eretz Israel. So as long as there was a Mishkan in place, everybody brought their sacrifices there. When there was no Mishkan in place, Bamot Hayu Mutarot, it was permitted to Jews were permitted to bring sacrifices on private altars. Mishenivna Beis HaMikdash, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says when the Beit HaMikdash was built, the Bamot were prohibited. From that time on and further, there was only one place that everybody could bring sacrifices. And you know that one place was the Beit HaMikdash. Cesar Meir Simcha, these two halachic periods represent the two purposes of carbon. As long as the purpose of sacrifice was therapeutic, so then there were definitely periods of time when there could be private altars. In other words, when there was a need to get sacrifice out of their system, so the Rebbe Shem, the halacha permitted even private altars, backyard altars. But from the moment that Beit HaMikdash was built, from that moment on, the halacha is habamot asurot, all bamot, all private altars became prohibited. Because from that time on and further, Rav Meir Simcha, I didn't remember this, Rav Meir Simcha all week, I don't know. Rav Meir Simcha said from that time on and further, the purpose of sacrifice was no longer in order to cleanse or to heal Jews from sacrifice to idolatry. From that moment on and further, sacrifice took on its own positive meaning. And its own positive meaning, in a sense, even as the Rambam explains it, in a sense, man is playing out a role before God. Whatever happened to that sacrifice, to that animal, should have happened to me. In other words, so there are two purposes to carbon. It's first, what the Rambam in the Moreh Nebuchadnezzar says, there is a kavona rishona and a kavona shnia. There is the first, and then there is the second purpose. Over here, there are two purposes. One was the therapeutic one, and that continued until the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. Following the construction of the Beit HaMikdash, it's no longer the therapeutic one, but then carbon in and of itself becomes of a positive nature. If somebody had... I'm looking at it. Look. Chapter 51 in Tehillim, the end of chapter 51. By the way, that chapter is an unusual chapter, and I'm beginning to see more meaning in this chapter. I knew it was around 50, so it is 51. Lamnatzeach, I'll just read a few sentences. Lamnatzeach mizmor l'David bevor elav natan hanavi. We learned the beginning of this chapter. This is the chapter when God came to when Natan HaNavi came to David about Bathsheba. So he asks for forgiveness. Cleanse me from all of my sins. Then there are unusual psukim, leiv tahor b'roli elukim, God, create for me a heart that is pure, v'ruach nachon chadesh v'kir b'yanei, and an established, a good spirit renewing me, al tashlicheni milfanecha v'ruach kodshecha al tikach v'meni. Alright, now, Pasuk 17, Hashem sfatai tiftach, God open my lips, ufi yagiti latecha, and my mouth is going to say your praise. Isn't that the pasuk with which we begin every Shmoneh Esrei? Now watch. Ki lo tachpots zevach ve'eteina. You don't really want sacrifice. Ola lo tirtze. You don't want ola. Shocking pasuk, right? Wait. Zivchei Elohim. Do you know what the real sacrifice before God is? Ruach nishbara, a broken spirit. Leiv nishbar v'nidka, a heart that is broken and downtrodden. In other words, a heart that stands broken before God because of sin. There, Elohim lo siv, that God will never reject that kind of a heart. So what's David HaMelech saying right now? He's saying, you don't want sacrifice. Wait a minute. David HaMelech is the one who's the only unfulfilled dream of his life is that he wanted to build the Beit HaMikdash and God did not permit him to do it. So what does he mean? You don't want sacrifice. You want a heart that is broken, and you'll never reject the heartbroken who stand before you. Heitiva biritzoncha et Zion. Let it be your will that you should do good with Zion. Tivnech amot Yerushalayim. You'll build the walls of Yerushalayim. Oz then you will want sacrifices of righteousness. Ola v'chalil, the ola and the animal that is burned completely. Oz yalu al mizbachacha parim. Then on your altar shall go up parim. Says the Meshech Chochma beautifully. Do you know what David HaMelech is talking about over here? The two periods in Jewish history in Halakha with regard to sacrifice. Up until the construction of the Bet HaMikdash, the purpose of sacrifice was to the therapeutic one, in order to wean Jews away from idolatrous practices. In that period of time, David HaMelech is saying, you don't want Ola, you know what you want? You want a heart that is broken and downtrodden before you. Ah, but when the walls of Yerushalayim will be built, and we're going to have a Beit HaMikdash, then the purpose of sacrifice is no longer going to be the negative one. The purpose of sacrifice is going to become the positive one. That this is what you want in your Beit HaMikdash. Oz, tachpol, zivchei, tzedek. Then you're going to want sacrifice of righteousness. Up until that time, it's not sacrifice of righteousness. It is sacrifice of medicine. It's an anti, it's an antibiotic. It's a an anti-idolic. That's really what it is. So there are same thing that we're correct. Now, I want to say therein lies the difference between the second half of Sefer Shemot, and the fact is, what is the second half of Sefer Shemot followed by? A whole Sefer Vayikra. The emphasis throughout is Karban. And here we've learned this long prayer of Shlomo HaMelech. No emphasis on Karban at all. No mention of Karban. All that is mentioned is Tefillah. Because what's going to happen now is, yes, there will be sacrifice, but the sacrifice is now going to be Zivchei Tzedek. Which means, I want to say something a little revolutionary. A little revolutionary. The Gemara says, Tfilah b'makom karban. We daven today, Shachris Minchen Marav. Tfilah, the Gemara says, is in the place of karban. The tumid in the morning and the tumid in the afternoon, that's Shachris and Mincha. And Marav is because the parts of animals were brought, were burned during the night on the Mizbeach. I want to say something to that may be precisely the opposite. Shlomo HaMelech is saying that Beiti Beit Tefillah Yikarei L'Cholam. This is a house of prayer. If anything, the korbanos that are brought, in some sense, are in the place of prayer. In other words, what is prayer? Prayer is the broken heart, and the broken heart, the heart that stands before God, is going to express itself through prayer. Not that prayer is in place of carbon. Carbon becomes an adjunct to prayer. It becomes the, in other words, acting out prayer, I act it out through carbon. So therefore, we can understand the complete and total difference between the two. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is dealing with the generation of the desert, for them, it's all carbon, because this is what he must accomplish. He has to remove from them any contamination of idolatrous carbon. That's not the problem that Shlomo HaMelech is dealing with. Shlomo HaMelech now has built a Beis HaMikdash that is going to be pure and beautiful in and of itself. Oz, Tachpot, Ziv, Tzedek. After the walls of Yerushalayim are built, then there will be sacrifices of righteousness. Then sacrifice is not going to be therapeutic, but it is going to be positive, an acting out of man's relationship with God. All right, now I said a whole bunch of questions. I'm going to give everybody a chance. I'm going to go straight. Yes, go ahead.
I live in Be'er Sheva. There's no cars, no transportation. I get to Beit HaMikdash 3 times a year. In between, I don't do anything. I haven't got organized tefillah. I'm not allowed to do korbanos because you say I can do korbanos. What happens to me? How do I express myself in Be'er Sheva? He said, I can't do korbanos anymore in Be'er Sheva.
That's right, you can't do Kabbalah anymore in Be'er Sheva.
Only 3 times a year I pray to God?
No. You pray to God every day, you only bring...
I haven't actually not till Ezra made this tefillah.
Okay, all right. So you're asking...
I'm asking, how am I going to express myself to God?
Okay. All right, Tovmio. So wait a minute. Tovmio. So, but what do you see? But wait a minute. What do you see from this prayer of Shlomo HaMelech?
That there was
prayer.
Who organized it?
Well, there was prayer. So I'll tell you, sir. Good, it's a good kasha. Everybody asks good questions. It's a good kasha. You live in Be'er Sheva?
Well, that's my question.
Oh, for the question. I think she's confusing me. The Rambam. Let me tell you a Rambam, the first Rambam in Hilchot Tfilah, in the laws of Tfilah. The Rambam says the following, that when Jews returned from the Babylonian exile with Ezra and Nehemiah, what the 42,000 miserable schleppers, okay? The 42,000 dredges of Jewish society in Babylon, the Ganuvim, the Chotzchim, the drug pushers, these are the guys who built the Second Commonwealth. The Shiny Eden remained in Babel. Okay, we got our politics in already. Now, the Rambam says the following, that when they returned with Ezra and Nehemiah, they were no longer able to, they were no longer able to speak Hebrew without a mixture of all sorts of other languages. They had been 70 years in Golos Babel, and in the course of 70 years in Golos Babel, they had come in contact with all sorts of societies. They spoke Ashdodit and Aramit and Bavlit and Parsit. You know, they couldn't speak a proper sentence in Lashon HaKodesh. And every time they would say something in Lashon HaKodesh, it would be a mixture of languages. We know exactly what it means. In other words, they would mamish Pashat Lachora, be mishtadeling to speaking in prayer before the Eivishter Baruch Hu. Understand? Hebrew, English, Yiddish, it was a mixture. It was, they came back from Babylon with a babble of tongues. And the Rambam says that one was not able to express their inner feelings in any one language. So therefore the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the Great Assembly, knew that they had to create and compose a tefillah that would be used by all Jews. What is the Rambam also implying by this? That during the course of the entire period of the first Beit HaMikdash, when Jews still knew Hebrew, so they were able to pray wherever they were. And by the way, the Rambam also holds that the halacha of tefillah, there's a mitzvah of tefillah daily. You have to daven every day. Except that the davening every day until the men of the Great Assembly after the return from Babel. Up until that time, if a person would turn to God once a day, and he would say, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, help me, one would fulfill the mitzvah, regardless of whether they were in Be'er Sheva or Dan or Metula, wherever they were. It was the men of the Great Assembly who returned afterwards. And by the way, you also see, the Gemara brings this, the Gemara brings the pasuk by Daniel. Daniel was in Bavel, and Daniel was taken into the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. And even in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar, he continued to keep mitzvot HaTorah. And one of the things it says, "V'chavin p'tichinle." Daniel, most of it is written in Aramaic. "V'chavin p'tichinle." He had a room where his windows were open, facing toward Yerushalayim. And that's where he would stand in prayer. So in other words, there was prayer all along. There was a mitzvah of prayer. Prayer is a mitzvah in our Torah. But its form, the form in which it is today, and the number of prayers a day, were ultimately established by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Before the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, you could even pray one time a day. You could pray 10 times a day. You were able to make up your own prayer. You could say whatever you wanted. Whatever was on your heart, that's what you said. So then it was only... So therefore, prayer was always... What are you talking about? You have to... Through Torah, don't we have prayer in Torah? By Yechal Moshe, Pnei Hashem Elokam. How many times was Moshe Rabbeinu pray? Daber al b'nei Yisrael, Vayitzaku Yisrael, al Hashem Yisrael. Avraham Avinu stands up a few times and he prays before God. So this is the point. I think that we have solved the mystery of the difference between the emphasis of Karban by Mishkan and the emphasis of Tefillah by Bet HaMikdash. Two different purposes, two different kinds of Karban. Their Karban was therapeutic. Here Karban is really and saying that carbon is an expression of tefillah. That's what it is. And therefore it is positive in its own right. And this is the way Rav Meir Simcha answers the Rambam. Says, when did the Rambam say that that prayer is therapeutic? That was only until the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. But from the construction of the Beit HaMikdash, Oz Yizbichu Zivchei, Oz Tachpots, you will want Zivchei Tzedek. The sacrifice are going to be sacrifices of Tzedek. After Tivnech Omar Yerushalayim, then it's going to be a whole new story of sacrifice. And therefore the Rambam is able to paskin that in Yetz Hashem, in the days of Mashiach, there will be sacrifice again. Okay, there were a few other questions. Yes.
You didn't mention that most of the purpose of the offer was to purify persons to become holy before Hashem.
All right, that's all true. That's all part of because sacrifice does not necessarily have to be only for sin. A carbon ola can be brought, or a carbon nedava. And the nedava can be brought just as out of a sense of gratitude. There's a carbon toda. You're right. Yes?
I just want to add that Hashem wants a certain sacrifice. There was the water in the morning and the afternoon.
That's the point. But even all of those sacrifices that he wanted, there were two periods halachically in Jewish history. One until the establishment of the Beit HaMikdash, and the other after the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. And therefore, Shlomo HaMelech really talks only about prayer. Only about prayer. Because that's the new purpose of sacrifice. Go ahead.
But he does talk more. He's saying that prayer is special.
Yeah, that's the...
But on the other hand, he's talking about people going to
you're right. It's of course. It's not. It's never really that the animal is punished. The whole purpose of it, as the Rambam explains, is that the person who brings the sacrifice has to think that whatever is happening to that animal should have happened to him. So that this is somebody used the word catharsis. Rachel, you used the word. There's a certain catharsis. You live through a certain experience in the carbon. Sometimes it can be that kind of experience, but then there's the carbon toda, the Thanksgiving offering, all sorts of kabbanas, the kabbanas chagiga, those that are brought on Yom Tovim, where the experience is of a completely different kind. And I say this is one of the things that, said it last week, this is one of the things that we've lost. More than 2,000 years without carbon, we don't really relate to carbon. There's going to have to be a whole process of education. We're going to have to be educated to understand the meaning of carbon. Yes?
The fact that the Yitzhahar for those who are taken away, which means that sacrifice, and now we're going to be different from the spiritual and mental
of those who are, is that what the Tzilat of Malachi is saying? So first of all, it was the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the Gemara says, it was the men of the Great Assembly who prayed that the Yitzhahar for Avodah Zarah should be abolished. Right. So that was removed. The point that I want to make is, if so, certainly during the whole period of Bayit Sheni, sacrifice could not have been therapeutic, because there no longer was even the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah. So it had to be, in and of itself, of a positive experience. Very good point. Okay. Chapter 8, Pasuk 54. Vayik chalot Shlomo litpalel al Hashem. I gave you back, yeah. Vayik chalot Shlomo litpalel al Hashem. When Shlomo concluded davening before God, it called hatfilah v'atchina hazot, this entire prayer and supplication. Pasuk nun dalud. You have it? Rhoda?
Yeah.
Okay. Got personal attention over here. All right. When he finished all of this prayer and all of this supplication, come milifnei mizbach Hashem mikroa al birkav. He arose from before the altar of God mikroa al birkav. He had been on his knees v'chapav prusot hashamayim, and his hands stretched out to the heavens. Vayamol vayivorech et kol kahal Yisrael kol gadol lemar, and he stood up and he blessed the entire congregation of Israel kol gadol maod in a loud voice. Do you see the word kol coming so quickly after the word kahal? Kol, kahal, we talked about that last week. And he said, Baruch Hashem. Hashem, who was the first one that said Baruch Hashem? Who's the first one that said Baruch Hashem? Huh? No. Baruch Kel Elyon, he said. Melchizedek. You always have to assume that if I ask you this kind of question, there's something timely about it. Yitro says Baruch Hashem Asher Hitzel, blessed is God who saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And the Mepharshim Rashi on the spot makes the comment, he was the first one to say Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem Asher Natan Menu Chalam O Yisrael, blessed is God who was given peace to his people Israel. Kechol Hashem Diber, as everything he had said, Lo Nafal Davar Echad, Mikol Davar Atov, not a single one of the good things that he said had fallen. Hashem Diber Diyav Moshe Avdo, that he had said through his servant Moshe, everything has happened. Yehi Hashem Elokeinu Imanu, let God our God be with us, Kasher Hoyoyim Avoteinu, as he had been with our fathers. Al Yaazveinu, let him not forsake us, Va'al Yitshenu, and let him not cast us away. When do we say that? When do we say this pasuk? Huh? Huh? Slichas could be in Slichas. Isn't it in Atah HaReisa? I think it's in Atah HaReisa. Then you know what? Most probably I'll daven tomorrow again and I'll see that the pasuk is right there in davening, and I'm going to be so embarrassed. So I'll pull out the tape and I'll erase it. Lahatos levavenu elav, that he should incline our heart toward him. Lelechas b'chol derochav, to go in all of his ways. V'lishmor mitzvotav chukav u'mishpatav, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his laws. Asher tzivayat avoteinu, that he had commanded our fathers. Which fathers is he talking about? In the pasuk before, and in this pasuk, kasher hoyom avoteinu. The Mitzudas David says that it means he's referring to Dor HaMidbar, the generation of the desert. As you were with them, so you shall be with us. And I have the feeling that he refers to the generation of the Midbar, because in a sense, it's a repeat performance of what was done in the Midbar. Everything over here is what they did Mishkan, he is now doing for Bet HaMikdash. V'yiyu dvarai ela, here is another, this pasuk, I want you to tell me where this pasuk appears. V'yiyu dvarai ela, these words, asher itchananti lefnei Hashem, that I have supplicated, I prayed before God, krovim al Hashem lekenu yom v'laila, they should be close to God day and night, la'asot mishpat avdo u'mishpat amo Yisrael dvayom b'yomo, that he should do. And I don't have a good word to translate mishpat over here. It doesn't mean judgment or justice. He's talking about the mishpat of his servant and the mishpat of his people Israel, dvar yom biyomo, day in and day out. I don't have the right word. Says what? The cause. So first of all, what is? Do you have an English translation there?
Sustain the cause,
huh? Sustain the cause. Okay, it means that they were sensitive immediately that the word mishpat over here cannot be translated the way mishpat normally is translated. And we have on a number of occasions pointed out that the meaning of the word mishpat always means the return of a balance and an equilibrium. When something is missing, when something is out of balance, there is a lack of mishpat. Now, of course, when crime is committed, or when there is a dispute between people, something has been upset. mishpat, the scales of justice, are the ones that return things to their balance. So now, whenever needs are met, that's mishpat. It can be also, it can be legal needs. It can be the needs of the Jewish people against their enemies. It can be their need for sustenance. So over here, mishpat avdo, u mishpat amo Yisrael, yes, the cause. That's a, I like that word. Yes.
To avenge the humiliation from the adversary.
I didn't like that.
To avenge,
huh?
Rashi says that.
Yeah, but in an English translation, and I'm talking about translation, and Rashi is saying it as an interpretation, right? There's pshuto shel mikra. Of course, mishpat is always used in all sorts of ways, but in pshuto shel mikra, it means to return the daily balance. Unless, of course, Rashi is saying we have enemies every day. We will surely do. Yeah, we do. All right. Lemandat kolamei haaretz, in order that all of the people of the land should know, ki Hashem hu ha'elokim, you know, that God is God, there is none other. Your heart should be complete with God our God, to go in his ways and to keep his mitzvot like this day. Oh, you're right. Thanks. I had started asking you, Pasuk Nun Tet, where do we say Pasuk Nun Tet? This is already not fair, unless, of course, I'm also forgetting one of the places where it's said. It's at the end of Hoshanas. Huh? That's not a fair question? Not a fair question. In Be'er Sheva, they don't say Hoshanas. But you know what? Here I'm also afraid that there's some other place where we say it, and I'm overlooking it, and that's very, that'll be very embarrassing. Huh? But the Concordatio wouldn't say where it is, appears. Yeah? I just fool myself into thinking that I'll remember immediately where it always is, but I don't. The HaMelech v'Kol Yisrael Imo. Here for the first time, the HaMelech v'Kol Yisrael Imo, the king and all of Israel with him, Zovchim Zevach, bring sacrifices with Hashem. By Yizbach Shlomo, Shlomo sacrificed at Zevach HaShlomim HaShezavah HaShem, Bokor Esrim Ushnayim Elef, 22,000. Vitzon, Meyov Esrim Elef, sheep, 120,000. Vayach Nechu et Beit Hashem, and they dedicated the house of God, HaMelech V'chol Dnei Yisrael, the king and all the children of Israel. By the way, this, according to the Mepharshim, this is not one day. The whole period of the period of the dedication was over 2 weeks, 14 days. It's still a lot of carbon. 14 days. Vayom Ahu Kidei Hashem Melech et Tocha Chotzer, on that day the king sanctified the center of the courtyard, Hashem Lefnei Beit Hashem, that is before the house of God, Ki Osa Shom, because there he made et Ha'olah et Hamincha. This was unusual. There just wasn't enough place on the Mizbeach and in the inner sanctums to bring all of the korbanos. So they brought korbanos. They brought korbanos in the chatzer. That chelvei Shlomim and the fat of the Shlomim korbanos kimizbach anuchoshet asher lifnei Hashem katon mehachil et ha'olam et hamincha, because the mizbeach of copper that was before God was too small from containing the ola and the mincha that chelvei Shlomim. Hayah Shlomo be'et ha'hi et hechog. Shlomo made at that time hechog. Chog is always sukkos. Chog is sukkos. When was the Chanukah Tabayit of the Mishkan? Before Pesach. From Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Rosh Chodesh was the day of the dedication. And from Rosh Chodesh on and further, for 12 days, each one of the... No, after Rosh Chodesh, each day one of the Nesi'im brought Karbanos leading up to the Ash was Sukkot's time. Tishrei. Now, it was the 7 days leading up to Sukkot. The Gemara says, the Gemara says that that year, they ate on Yom Kippur. I thought you'd all get shaken by all of this. In other words, the dedication ceremonies were such, Reb Levi says, Ein l'chosh shiva l'fnei achag, you can only find 7 days before Sukkot. Chag is Sukkot. There has to be a Shabbos and a Yom Kippur. V'otam shivat yamim ho Yisrael ochlin v'shotim u'smechim u'madlikim nedot. Those 7 days, Klal Yisrael ate and drank and lit candles. U'besof chazru v'nitzaru al adama. Afterwards they were troubled by it. Maybe they had done the wrong thing. A Yom Kippur on which Jews ate. Amru Toma Shiyesh B'Yadenu Avon. Is it possible that there is a sin that we've committed? Shechilalnu et HaShabbat V'imu Mechal Shabbos V'achalnu B'Yom HaKippurim U'B'Yed on Yom Kippur. In order to put their minds at ease, Yotzis of Baskol, a voice came out from heaven and said to them, Kulchem B'nei Olam Haba, you all have a share in the world to come. Huh? Who paskin that they could eat? Obviously. Shlomo Ubezdino. Shlomo HaMelech. Huh? Absolutely. I mean, what do you think? You think that there are millions of Jews in Yerushalayim and they're eating on Yom Kippur and they're lighting candles on Shabbos and it was not done with a psak min HaShemayim. Of course it was done with a psak min HaShemayim. There's a very, very significant idea to this, one that is elaborated on by Rav Hutna. Rav Hutna Zatzal has a very, very beautiful essay where he points out the karbanos that were brought at the dedication of the Mishkan were unique, unusual, and different. And there were karbanos that could not be brought later. There were karbanos that were brought by Moshe. Moshe could not bring a sacrifice afterwards. There were karbanos that were halachically completely different than karbanos that came later. There were things that were done then that couldn't be done at any other time. The Bet HaMikdash, here we have at its dedication, seems to be a desecration of Shabbos and a terrible desecration of Yom Kippur. One who reads in Sefer Yecheskel, there is a description of what the dedication of the Bayit Shlishi, the third Bet HaMikdash, is going to be about. And the Gemara in many places talks that the korbanos that are brought at the dedication are not in keeping with the halacha. At the dedication of the second Bet HaMikdash, after they returned with Ezra and Nehemiah, there were also korbanos about which the Gemara asks, doesn't fit into any of the halachic norms. There is a statement in the Gemara in one place that says that this is the result of chibatan harishona. There is something about the first moment, the passion of love, that people may do something that they would not otherwise do. When the Rebbeinu Shleilam comes for the first time, so to speak, to join with Klal Yisrael, it's the moment of the first great outburst of passionate love. And the way in which it expresses itself is that in the moment of passionate love, you do things that wouldn't be done otherwise. Therefore, what really happens is that the halacha created by the Mishkan, the example of dedication is different than anything else. Dedication is a unique period in the relationship between God and the Jewish people. What's normally not permitted is permitted at dedication, because dedication is the first burst of passionate love. Chivatan hadishona. And how is it expressed? By virtue of the fact that we permit. The halacha, the relation permits. Not only permits, he wants something to be done that's different, that's radical, that wouldn't be permitted under any other circumstances, in order to demonstrate how unique and how special is this dedication. And therefore, each one of the dedications, Mishkan, first Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, and in Yitzhak Shem, third Beis HaMikdash, all cross the boundaries of halacha. Yes? The difference is not of an Avi who decided for themselves when to cross the boundaries of halacha. In terms of the dedication, it was the Rebbeinu Shel Olam who permitted certain korbanos. And by the others, it was the Sanhedrin who made it. But not of Avi who did it on their own. That you can't do. If everybody has the right to go ahead and establish a form of service on his own, then Klal Yisrael falls apart at the seams. Everybody is going to go do his own thing. They asked nobody. They discussed it with nobody. On the contrary, I believe that's why the Gemara says that when Moshe and Aaron and Nadav Vavil were walking by Har Sinai, toward Har Sinai, for the giving of Torah, so Nadav said to Aviu, Masa Yamusu, Shnei Zekeinim Alolo, when are these two old guys going to die? Vanachnu Nanhig Etam, and we are the ones who are going to lead the people. There was something about what they did that was an act of rebellion. It was going against the ones who represented law, whereas all of the others, it was either the Bedin, the Sanhedrin of Shlomo, the Sanhedrin of the Anshei Knesset Agdolah, and in the third Beis HaMikdash, it's Yecheskel who says it b'nevuah, that there will be korbanos that are going to be brought that are not Alpi Din.
Why didn't everybody switch it? Why did it not be
the halakha? Why will it not be? In Sefer Yecheskel, Yecheskel says what sacrifices are going to be brought, and by the way, I started saying the Mishkan was dedicated Pesach time. The Mikdash, Sukkot, the third Bet HaMikdash is going to be from Pesach all the way to Sukkot. No, to Sukkot, 6 months. Let's see, just two Pesachim. Vayash Shlomo Beit HaYit HaChog. Shlomo at that time made the Chog, which is Sukkot. V'chol Yisrael Imo, Kohol Gadol. Oh, this is a beautiful Pesach. Oh, is this beautiful? How could I let you go without this pasuk? And all of Israel with him, kohol gadol, a great community, milavo chamat at Nachal Mitzrayim. Milavo chamat at Nachal Mitzrayim. Nachal Mitzrayim is the southern border of Eretz Yisrael. Levo chamat is the northern border of Eretz Yisrael. Lefnei Hashem Elokeinu, before God, shivat yamim, the shivat yamim, 7 days and 7 days. What was so exciting about this? Huh? Pasuk 65. Daf Yomi right now is in Masechta Zvachim. The Masechta before was a small Masechta called Masechta Horios. I think it's on Daf Gimel and Aleph in Horios, where all of Masechta Horios talks about the fact if the Sanhedrin paskin something and they made a mistake, there was an error, and on the basis of that error, the majority of the Jews went ahead and made a mistake. So the Bezdin, or one sacrifice, is brought for all of Israel, a carbon chatos, either the people bring it, or it's brought by the Sanhedrin. So the question is, the Gemara asks the question, what about people who live in Chutz Laaretz who made a mistake because of the psak of the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim? Says the Gemara, the Pasuk in the Torah says that this has to be brought if Kahal Yisrael is going to make a mistake. So the Gemara says that by definition, Kohol, only those in Eretz Yisrael are called Kohol. Anybody living outside of Eretz Yisrael is not called part of Kahal Yisrael. She likes it. Mrs. Beresheva likes it. How? The Gemara says, how do we know that the definition of Kahal Yisrael. How do you know that the definition of Kahal is only those who live in Eretz Yisrael? They bring this pasuk. The Chol Yisrael Imo Kahal Gadol. Who is the Kahal Gadol? People who came from Levo Hamat, which is the northern boundary of Eretz Yisrael, Ad Nachal Mitzrayim, which is the southern boundary. And therefore the Gemara says, those live in Eretz Yisrael, Ikri Kohol, they are called Kohol. Those who do not live in Eretz Yisrael are not called Kohol. They are not part of the community, what's called the community of God. Shivat, 7 days and 7 days, our boss again 14 days. Bayom HaShmini, this is Shmini Atzeres, Shilachatam, the eighth day after the two periods of 7 days, Shilachatam, he sent the people home, and they blessed the king, and they went to their tents, Smechim, Betovei, Lev, happy and good of heart, Al Kolat Tova, Asher Asa Hashem, L'David Avdo, for all of the good that God had done to his servant, David, Uli Israel, Amo, and to his people, Israel. All right. Now, I have advice for you. And this is the kind of advice that I don't advise anything unless I do it myself. I think that it would be a very, very good thing if during the course of these next, I'm afraid to talk in terms of 4 weeks, that we're not going to get together for 4 weeks is something that simply is shattering to me. What I would say is, thanks, Miriam. Say it again, louder. Yeah. Us also, Miriam said. Good. If you could... All right. Christopher's leaving. All right, Christopher's leaving. Yeah? You know what I do?
No.
I read a chapter of Malachim a day. I read a chapter of Malachim a day. And I think it's very important. Just read a chapter a day. Because when I come back after we're not going to have that many classes, because if Purim is over, then Pesach is around the corner. There's only one area that I want to discuss about Shlomo. When we finish with Shlomo, we're going to have to talk about what happens to Shlomo b'Sof Yomav, the last chapter of Shlomo that talks about Shlomo as having been a sinner. From there, I want to go through the period of Malachim. If you know the text, it helps a great deal. I wish you all, Gesundheit, we should survive the excitement of living in this country every day. And in Yetz Hashem, by Purim, v'napochu, asher yishlatu, hayamin, al hasmol, and for that they can send me to jail. Okay.